And if you're a honey badger, you have no regard for other animals. You don't care.
If you're a panda with twins, it's normal to abandon one to take care of the other.
But if humans do any of these things, we would call it wrong, unfair, or unjust.
Yeah, why is that? Why do humans care so much about justice?
Well, the Bible has a fascinating response to that question. On page one, humans are set apart from all other creatures as the image of God.
Yeah, God's representatives who rule the world by his definition of good and evil.
And this identity, it's the bedrock of the Bible's view of justice. All humans are equal before God and have the right to be treated with dignity and fairness no matter who you are.
And that would be nice if we all did that. But we know how the world really works.
And the Bible addresses that too. It shows how we are constantly redefining good and evil to our own advantage at the expense of others.
Yeah, self-preservation. And the weaker someone is, the easier it is to take advantage of them.
And so in the biblical story, we see this happening on a personal level, but also in families, and then in communities, and in whole civilizations that create injustice, especially towards the vulnerable. But the story doesn't end there. Out of this whole mess, God chose a man named Abraham to start a new kind of family. Specifically, Abraham was to teach his family to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice.
Yeah, doing righteousness, that's a Bible word I don't really use, but what comes to mind is being a good person.
But what does that even mean, being good? The biblical Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedakah, and it's more specific. It's an ethical standard that refers to right relationships between people. It's about treating others as the image of God.
With the God-given dignity they deserve.
And this word justice, it's the Hebrew word mishpat. It can refer to retributive justice.
Like if I steal something, I pay the consequences.
Exactly. Yet most often in the Bible, mishpat refers to restorative justice. It means going a step further, actually seeking out vulnerable people who are being taken advantage of and helping them.
Yeah, some people call this charity.
But mishpat involves way more. It means taking steps to advocate for the vulnerable and changing social structures to prevent injustice.
So justice and righteousness are about a radical, selfless way of life.
Yeah, and you find this idea all over the Bible. Like here, in the book of Proverbs, what does it mean to bring about just righteousness?
Open your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves.
And what do these words mean for the prophets, like Jeremiah?
Rescue the disadvantaged and don't tolerate oppression or violence against the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow.
And like here, look in the book of Psalms.
The Lord God upholds justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets the prisoner free. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. Whoa, he thwarts the wicked?
Yeah, in Hebrew, the word wicked is rasha. It means guilty or in the wrong. It refers to someone who mistreats another human, ignoring their dignity as an image of God.
So justice and righteousness is a big deal to God.
Yes, it's what Abraham's family, the Israelites, were to be all about. They ended up as immigrant slaves being oppressed unjustly in Egypt. And so God confronted Egypt's evil, declaring them to be rasha, guilty of injustice. And so he rescued Israel. But the tragic irony of the Old Testament story is that these redeemed people went on to commit the same acts of injustice against the vulnerable. And so God sent prophets who declared Israel guilty.
But they weren't the only ones. There's injustice everywhere.
Yeah, some people actively perpetrate injustice. Others receive benefits or privileges from unjust social structures they take for granted. And sadly, history has shown that when the oppressed gain power, they often become oppressors themselves.
So we all participate in injustice, actively or passively, even unintentionally. We're all the guilty ones.
And so this is the surprising message of the biblical story. God's response to humanity's legacy of injustice is to give us a gift, the life of Jesus. He did righteousness and justice, and yet he died on behalf of the guilty. But then God declared Jesus to be the righteous one when he rose from the dead. And so now Jesus offers his life to the guilty so that they too can be declared righteous before God, not because of anything they've done, but because of what Jesus did for them.
The earliest followers of Jesus experienced this righteousness from God, not just as a new status, but as a power that changed their lives and compelled them to act in surprising new ways.
Yeah, if God declared someone righteous when they didn't deserve it, the only reasonable response is to go and seek righteousness and justice for others.
This is a radical way of life, and it's not always convenient or easy. It's courageously making other people's problems my problems.
This is what Jesus meant by loving your neighbor as yourself. It's about a lifetime commitment fueled by the words of the ancient prophet Micah. God has told you, humans, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Hey, this
good morning. So we're going to look at this morning. Before, one quick announcement is in 2 weeks, on October 7th, we are having a baptismal service after the worship service. There will be no Sunday schools. We're going to have a baptismal service downstairs, and then we will have a lunch together for those who want to stay. Next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet just to find out how many we need to prepare for lunch. Actually, I'll probably run back there and put a sign-up sheet out this week so that we could start right now when we're done here before this morning is over. That'll be going on October 7th. And what I'd like to also need is if there are two guys who can help the week before, some night the week before or Saturday morning, is to put the baptismal together. It's not really hard. It just takes two guys because of the type of work it is. So if there are two guys out there who could help, we'd be very blessed, and that would be really encouraging. So just grab a hold of me afterwards when that's done. So we have a new policy we decided to implement here. We have this chair here. And so if while I'm teaching, I notice anybody's sleeping or not paying attention, this is where you end up, just to let you know what's going on there, because you're all wondering. No, that was a joke. So, in case I need it. Okay, we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to be looking at, as the video showed, as we've been going through living the way of wisdom, and we're focusing on living the way of wisdom over the next few weeks in our finances. Today, we're going to focus on our responsibility to the poor and the needy. And what we're going to do is, I'm just going to talk for about 7 or 8 minutes, and then Chris Bernhardt and Larry Mattis are going to both get up at different times, and they are going to share about some practical things they are doing. We have a lot of folks in our church doing, it's amazing, I hear about all the time, and you all don't get to, but people doing stuff that nobody knows about, and in great ways serving God's kingdom out there in the world, and unsung, however you say that, heroes. And I think we are a church of unsung heroes. And that is a good thing. We're not known for that because nobody makes it known, and that is a better thing. It just happens. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time here and just the opportunity to hear from some folks who are doing some really cool things and really good things. As that video showed, people love justice and mercy. Lord, that's what we want to be. People who love justice and love mercy and who walk humbly with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 15:7. I hope we have slides up there today. If anyone is poor among your people in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, we do. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Last week, Paul quoted this, didn't he? Give not grudgingly or under compulsion. How did you do learning how to enjoy showing generosity this past week? If you're just getting started, that's fine. Use this week to learn how to enjoy showing generosity to others. And then he goes on, he says, then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. there will always be poor people in the land. Who quoted that? Jesus. When the woman broke the bottle of perfume, the expensive, costly bottle of perfume, and anointed him. And one of the disciples, I think it was Judas, said, we could have given this to the poor, or we could have sold it and had the money for the poor. And Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward those of your people who are poor and needy in your land. These verses make it very clear that we are responsible to be generous as God's people to the poor and needy. We cannot escape that. It's right there. It's really clear here. Now, you may say, some have said, well, he's talking about other Israelites, and in context, that's true. And we may turn that into, well, it's to Christians that we are to be generous to, and that is true, but that is not all that is true. Paul actually said these words. He said, it is our responsibility, and this is my paraphrase of it, to do good to all people. And then he says, especially those who are the household of faith. He's not saying only to the household of the faith. The command is to do good to all people. The emphasis, a special emphasis, is on those who are the household of the faith. But the command is to all people. The Old Testament says the same thing. Leviticus 23:22. I knew you're all just thinking, man, I hope we get into Leviticus today. When you left your house. Probably most of you had this in your quiet time this week. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Now, there's probably no exact practical way, exact way of applying this. It's not like Giant Eagle's going to have the milk and cheese and egg aisle. That's all free. You know, the other aisles you got to pay for. But there are ways that we could practically and must practically apply this, and we must look for opportunities to apply this verse, that some of what we have goes to helping the poor. And he says the needy, and then he says the word alien. And this word is used a lot in the Old Testament, and it's not E.T. alien, but it's also tied with the word stranger or sojourner. For our language, here's exactly what this word means. Foreigner, immigrants, refugees. That is an exact translation for us. He says here that we are to set aside something of ours for the foreigner, the immigrant, the refugee. People who do not belong to our tribe, whatever that tribe is, whatever your tribe is. So this verse is actually telling us that we are to be generous to people from Michigan and Pittsburgh. No, you know what it's saying. Proverbs 10:4. Now there is a caution with all of this, and this always comes up in our men's time and men's study. That's why some of the guys are sharing. There's a number of them who could have shared, but a couple are. And that's this. It's irresponsibility and responsibility. And it's an important question. And Proverbs 10 says, the one who is lazy becomes poor, but the one who works diligently becomes wealthy. The one who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son, but the one who sleeps during the harvest is a son who brings shame to himself. And as we talked in the men's time, and this may sound cliche, but it's very biblical. Generosity must give both a hand out and a hand up. Generosity goes beyond just giving money to giving time to help people walk on their own two feet. And that is a critical part of it, and we even saw that in the video. It is taking full responsibility to help others see transformation in their own lives. With that, though, do not assume that all poor people are lazy. No more than we should assume that all rich people are greedy and cheaters. It's just not true. It's very easy to assume that. Our job is to give people what they need fully. I know, I hope she doesn't mind, Sue Cooper, I know, you know, you drive and you stop, you know, you get off the exit and there's all these people there with their signs, and Sue carries food that doesn't perish with her, so she can give it to them. I know Bob Bishop and I, years ago, we had somehow, there used to be down Bailey Road, down at the end of Bailey Road, there's like a little bridge down there, and there used to be a lot of homeless folks guys who used to hang out there. I guess they must not anymore, but they always came up to our church. And, you know, we would help them out and stuff. And one time, you know, we gave them a gift card to Acme, and they went down there, and I don't know if it was Bob or me, but one of us drove by and saw them coming out that afternoon with a case of beer, you know, say, like, oh boy. And that stuff happens and all, and so, you know, but we got smart and we thought, well, we're not doing that anymore. But we had them over, it was three of them, we had over every week for a Bible study and food. And then they were on some medicines, and one of the guys, you know, he would come up, I'm just going to take you, Ray, over. Let's go to the pharmacy and just buy him his meds. There are ways of dealing with this stuff. And then finally, there are some other ways that we might have negative attitudes towards the poor, and the Bible addresses that also. And in Proverbs 17:5, it says, on the next slide there, it says, the one who mocks the poor insults his creator. Whoever rejoices over disaster will not go unpunished. Now, we would not actually mock the poor like outright, but we will make jokes and we will judge. And we should never do that, because if we do, we're in trouble. We will not go unpunished for it. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to needy honors him. There are plenty of people in our world who prey on the poor and the needy and the elderly in that. Scams of oppression. There are systems like gambling systems that prey on the poor and the needy. There are systemic practices in every. There are systemic practices in every society that oppress the poor and keep them in poverty. The Bible is clear on that. Every society has systemic practices that oppress the poor and keep them in poverty. Tim Keller does a lot on this because his churches are in inner cities. I know you've been reading his Proverbs book, but he talked about the concept of food deserts in the inner cities. Look it up sometime on Google. And then there's abundance of food in the field of the poor, but it's swept away by injustice. Helping the poor is a complex and often well-intentioned programs and policies fail to accomplish what they strive for. Saw a little thing, I remember when Bono did the AIDS stuff years and years ago, and he realized, and the actual nations that were getting this aid realized that this isn't helping. And the key there, and I'm going to close, and then Chris Bernhardt's going to come up and share next, is all generosity to those in need needs to be incarnational, meaning it needs to be Jesus became one of us. He moved into the neighborhood, John says. He pitched his tent. And the way to, and because it goes beyond just sending money somewhere, it goes to engaging and being fully involved. Chris, come on up. She can't have my water.
I'm Chris Bernhardt, for those of you who may not know me, but I'm going to talk today a little bit about where I serve, kind of like Pastor Mike says, incognito a little bit, but it's down at Urban Vision, and I did bring some literature in the back. There's a newsletter there, an involvement opportunity sheet, a flyer, and a business card. The business card has the name and number of Regina Lewis on it. She actually moved her family from Washington, D.C. to get them out of the poverty and the crime-stricken area that she was in. And she works for Urban Vision now. So she's got quite a story, you know, quite a God story there. But I'm going to be referring to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20, which talks a little bit about, you know, different people have different attributes, you know, the hand and the eye and the ear. You know, that verse. Urban Vision's board, last summer, they kind of had a little of emergency thing where a roof was just falling to pieces and rain was coming. And I kind of stopped what I was doing for about a week and a half and went and actually built a new roof over this stairway. So they sent me this nice thank you and stuff. And I responded to them. And I want to... In that response to them, for them thanking me, I actually ended up thanking them, but I want to share some of that with you. So I'm just going to read this about my response to them. It says, I want to give you some background. A deacon at my church was talking with me one day about, if you have any extra money to give, I know a gal that grew up in our church that has a ministry that is worthy. And I asked what it was, and he told me about Urban Vision. Being a young Christian, I wanted to see for myself, so I contacted them and went down to volunteer at the Christmas store that year at the gym in Elizabeth Park. So to give you a little bit of background, Jody Matthews, who grew up in our church over at Northampton Bible Church, moved down below Elizabeth Park, moved into a house down there with her husband Rodney, and they now run Urban Vision. And that's where they started Urban Vision. They moved into where they wanted to serve. And and it grew from there. Where they're at now is an old Methodist church that they got for the cost of the $10,000 worth of behind gas payments that this church couldn't handle. And they've just expanded into an amazing work for God right now. So... I learned about their philosophy and giving a hand up and not a hand out. And the store was amazing. And from that time on, I sent a little extra money here or there. And when they got the building at Blaine Street, I kind of just jumped right in. Some of the things that I've been involved with just this year was like they had a 30-year-old roof on there. So they put me in charge of overseeing. I can't, you know, do the whole roof over there, but... They put me in charge of overseeing having a new roof put on. So that was one of the things. We put new glass blocks in a bunch of the windows there, which they gave me to oversee. I also participated, you know, myself in installing 24 storm windows, four really nice replacement windows. This thing. But and numerous other things. But what's the matter with this thing? You have to forgive me. Oh, well. There it goes. But anyway, what I want to point out to you, though, is that there's just a, you know, I'm from fixing leaks to doing everything and everything that you can think of. Wherever I'm needed, is that's kind of where I go. But the reason I'm there is because of Urban Vision. They have an outreach ministry that focuses on the children and the families of North Hill. If you work at Urban Vision, you have to live in North Hill. So, you know, that's just like Rodney and Jody do. So, I was here for quite a while before I even knew that Jeff's daughter, Kate, worked down here. I knew Kate, but I didn't put the two together. You know, I just, it wasn't, and I didn't know. So thanks for letting me know, Jeff. Yeah. But let me read the other part of this email that I sent. So this is what I sent to the board when they sent me that. They told me thanks. It says, God has blessed me with the gift of being able to use my hands at construction. It gives me great joy. So as I am able to do the work at Urban Vision, you see, I am the one being blessed by God with great joy, that I am able to do that which he has given to me. For I may be a hand, but likewise, you are all a part of the body also. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Doing what God has given you to do, and you have not shunned your duty. I only hope you have the joy that I have when I am able to do something to further his kingdom with such a place as Urban Vision. So, I mean, with that, I would just urge anybody, each of us has God-given capabilities and things that he has blessed you with. The way I look at it is, you know, going to work most of the time in my life, it wasn't a burden because I enjoyed doing what I do. I like working with my hands. Find what you like. The guys that would work for me, first thing I'd ask them is, what do you like to do? And they would tell me, and more than likely, I would have them do that because more than likely, if they liked to do it, they were really good at it. Find what God has blessed you to do and utilize it for whatever capabilities you have to further the kingdom. So, thank you.
My little computer works pretty good for me. I don't like these things, and I really don't enjoy getting up, and I get kind of tongue-tied, so if I do, forgive me. But my name is Larry Mattis, and I work for UPS. I work nights. You know, I start work Monday night at 9 o'clock, and I finish up, you know, I'm home every day, but I finish up Saturday morning. And I volunteer at the Haven of Rest. I started volunteering about 4 years ago. And I'd like to say it was a God thing. And at the time, it wasn't. But it has turned into a God thing in my volunteer time. But I was bored. I hated Monday mornings. I was all alone. Everybody else went to work. You know, I was living in the apartment at the time in the Falls area. And I wanted something to do. And I was going to Church and Alliance. You know, it was a 35-mile drive. And a friend of mine, he was started volunteering for, I think it was like a food pantry or something in Alliance, and they'd collect food and do some stuff like that. And we were chatting about it. I'm like, maybe there's something out there I can do on Monday morning. So Haven of Rest came to mind. For some odd reason, I just put it in my mind, Haven of Rest. So I went down there, and before I walked in the door, I'm like, I just closed my eyes, said, God, I want to volunteer from 8 to noon, whatever you want me to do, if it's scrubbing toilets, whatever, I'll do it. I don't care. So I walked into the door and found a receptionist and told her my name. And I just said, hey, I want to volunteer. Monday mornings, these are the times. And she looked at me. She says, great. You know, we need drivers. And I'm like, oh, what do you do for a living? Yeah, talk about preparation. You know, I'm just going, okay. You know, and it was just so funny because it's just like I told her, you know, when I work for UPS, I work nights, and this is the day I can do it. She's just like, you work for UPS? And I'm like, yeah, my dad worked for Roadway. And next thing I know, I'm going all around the places through the Haven of Rest, and she's showing me everything. And I started volunteering the following Monday, you know, and it's just, I meet with a group of guys. There's typically four of us, sometimes two, but they have a program Monday through Thursday in the morning. You know, we go pick up food at different organizations, different, you know, places, BJ's, Starbucks, and we bring it back to the Haven, and they feed people of the area. They feed, you know, we have what they call residents there, that you have people from the street can come in and eat, and you're not getting anything, no food, no clothes or anything from the Haven of Rest until you get to listen to a Bible message. They're going to, you know, you sit down and bam, this is how it's going. You got church, and it's just the way they do. And then they have a residence program where if there's people that are, I don't want to say worthy, but they feel that, hey, can work the program, and they want to get help, and they want to get off of whatever addiction or whatever issue they have. And they look like you and me. I mean, it's just, could be me, could be you. You know, is people need help. And it's been, it has, you know, you go there to help people. And I have found I've been the one that's got the most help. You know, I realized that, you know, hey, in life that I've had some stuff go on in the past few years. I had some bad things go on. And I realized, man, I'm really screwed up. I need help, you know, and I need God more than anything. And it's been the greatest blessing, you know, for me. I've made some wonderful friends. I've watched a guy that I volunteered with that was, this guy was a big-time druggie. He was a druggie, you know, and he dealt in meth so he can support his habit. And I've watched this guy just transform, and he was only doing it for like a couple years prior to me. And he feeds the homeless, and he works at a church, and he does all these different things. And the friendship that we have been able to create, you know, it's been awesome, you know. And there was I'm just going to share a couple stories with you, but there was a gentleman, Carlito, and on the streets, you know, and he came in, and he was from, I can't remember what state he was from, but he came, moved to Ohio, and he was big-time musician and stuff like that, and he got involved going there. Well, they worked the program. They saw some stuff in Carlito. Well, and afterwards, they gave Carlito a job, and Carlito's job was to deal with people like me when we came in to volunteer, and we came back with the food, and we would just, you know, take it off the trucks and put it on the docks for him to segregate, and he would figure out, okay, we're going to use this stuff, we got too much of this, you know, because there's some churches that come down here and also get food, and they feed the hungry, and churches from all over the North Ohio area. Well, Carlito and I became friends, and we had a lot of fun, and I'll always remember Carlito. I see a weed whacker, I think of Carlito, okay, and the reason is because Carlito took out somebody with a weed whacker. He got in a fight with a guy, and he took the dude out. And I'm bringing up Carlito because I called Carlito a few years back, you know, and I just got another kayak, and I wanted to go kayak, and he always talked, you know, about kayaking or bicycling. And I called him on a Saturday, and he was having a bad day, you know, and we're just chatting. And I'll never forget, he said, hey, don't forget about me. You know, and he was just really having a rough time, and it was, don't forget about me. And I walked in there a couple years ago, and Carlito died. And it was just like, man, it knocked me down, you know. And I always think of Carlito. And, you know, it's just, the funny thing is, that weed whacker, that something he did really bad with way back when, I see that. And Carlito said, don't forget me. And I'm not going to forget about Carlito, because I see a weed whacker, and I think of Carlito. And I have a great time, because he was a great guy. And another story, it's just how God works, you know, and we pick up at different organizations. And I don't know if you know where the Starbucks and the Great Lakes Bakery in Hudson's at, but it's over there in Hudson. And I was driving, and I had a gentleman with me, an older gentleman, retired. And we pull in, and I'm pulling into the parking lot, and this white car starts backing out. And I just give a toot. You know, I'm UPS. I don't want to get hit, you know. I'm very defensive on my driving. And so I pull up front and back up into a spot. And my friend Jeff and I, we start to get out of the truck to go pick up at the bakery. And this lady pulls around and stops right in front and gets out. And it's an older white-haired lady. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. And I looked at Jeff. I says, you go in. I'll take this. I'm probably going to get slapped here, you know, because I honked at somebody. But she came up, and I walked up to her, and I'm like, you know, I started to say, hey, I'm sorry. She's like, hey. She said, thank you. I'm for what? She says, thank you for honking. I really, really am having a bad time right now, and my head is just not into anything. And she says, you honked the horn. I looked in my mirror and I saw haven of rest. And I saw haven. And she said, my mom just died yesterday. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, I just said, I'm so sorry. I just lost my brother, you know, a couple months ago. And I just shared a Bible verse. You know, it's a Genesis 31:49. The Lord watched between me and thee when we were absent from one another. And it's just a verse that's very close to my heart for my family and my kids out of town. And they pray that. And I just shared that with her. And she's like, you know, I got to write that one down. So we wrote it down. And then I just prayed with her right there in the parking lot. Just prayed, you know, God give her peace, you know, protect your mom, you know, and just know. And it was just, it was so cool. And like Chris said, as I've been volunteering and as I've been doing what I was doing, you know, at the Haven, and not just at the Haven, but just in different life experiences, working at church or whatever, he's been preparing us. You know, Chris fixes things and you can do all these different things, and there's that opportunity. You know, me, I'm a, you know, hey, you work for UPS, I drive a truck, and God prepared me. You know, and he has prepared us. We don't even realize it. And he has prepared us to do things and different things. And I like the little word if. You know, I call it the biggest little word in the Bible. And I just finished reading a little book called If, and it really wasn't that good, but I had to get it because of that word, if. You know, and I think, you know, if we confess our sins, you know, if we do this, if we do that, you know. And I look at me, you know, going down to the Haven, and if I didn't go through some of this bad stuff over here and have to move over here back to Cauga Falls, because I was about 35 miles away, if I didn't go through that stuff, I wouldn't be doing a Haven, you know. I wouldn't be living just down the street coming to this church and all these little things that if they didn't happen, if I didn't do this, if this didn't happen, you know, a lot of bad things are going on, but through those bad things, I have found so many good things that come about, you know. I mean, I look at my fiance right there. It's like a few years back, I'm like, man, there's no way. But if I didn't go through that bad time, I would not be experiencing her family. You know, if I didn't go through this, I wouldn't be experiencing that. And God's got a plan for all these different things, and we don't see it at the time. You know, and it's the same thing with these people that we deal with, these people I see at the Haven. You know, and like I said, it could be me, it could be any of us. And I struggle, as Mike was talking, when we share like people at the street corners. I really struggle with this, you know, when I see them, because I look at people and I'm like, okay, you're clean, you know, you got some nice shoes on, you know, and I struggle giving. You know, on that part. But on the other part of me, it's like when I was out without a church home, I started giving to the Haven. You know, so I am giving. I am giving of my time. You know, I'm giving of myself. And like I said, it's not, you know, volunteering and doing stuff, you are going to be so blessed. I mean, you're thinking you're doing it, you know, you could have that God thing, you want to be doing it for God and stuff like that, but God, I can guarantee you, he is going to bless you like you would not believe. It's just a wonderful thing. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I don't have a hammock out there. That's for you. But anyway, I guess I'm supposed to close in prayer? All right. So, let's pray. Well, Father, I just, I've been trying to think what to say and the verse to pray, and I go right to the start of the video, and I think of Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with the Lord your God. And Father, that is just, it's a beautiful verse because you have showed us all what is good, and you have given us all so much, and you have been so gracious and so merciful to all of us, Lord. And help us to walk humbly. Help us to act justly. And help us to love mercy. You know, those who need to be loved, Father, those who we really don't want to love and we really don't like, and we're required, Lord, to love them also. And Father, I think your word also is, it says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I shall answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Father, we're calling upon you for every member, every person in this church and those that are not of this church. Father, there are needs. There are all kinds of needs. And there's, you know, every family has death that they're dealing with, finances that they're dealing with, medical issues, and your hand's on it. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done. And we just uplift each and every one of those family members and needs, and we just praise you for all that you've done. Thank you for Mike's surgery going well, and he's getting around. It's nice to see that. We praise you. We thank you for these things, Father. Amen.
Just real quick, Kate did mention to me they do need volunteers at Urban Vision any day, but especially Tuesdays from 2:30 to 5:30. So
other way around.
Oh.
Every day but Tuesday.
Every day but Tuesday. Right back. So if you're available on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday from 2:30 to 5:30, that would be a great help there at Urban Vision. Adult Sunday School is going to start in here in about 15 minutes, and the kids will be downstairs. So if you've never stayed for Adult Sunday School, I encourage you to stick around. It's really good. We've been going through Exodus and Moses, and so hope to see you here. And again, in a couple of weeks, we got the baptism, and there's, I think Tim might have got a sign-up sheet for that. Thanks.
And the sign-up, not just for the baptism,